Congregation, the text for this afternoon's sermon is found in Isaiah 43, stanzas 1 through 7, which we just read. I will read those verses to you once more. Isaiah 43, starting at verse 1. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes we hear people say they want God to give them what they deserve, especially when they think they are treated unfairly. As Christians, we know if God were to do that, we would all perish because of our sin. But God, out of His mere grace, has given us many wonderful gifts that we don't deserve. Because He loves us, and His love is unconditional. When God expresses His love in the Bible, He does not say, I love you if, or I love you because. There is nothing in us that may cause God to love us. His love toward us is simply motivated by who He is. In our text today, Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7, the Lord shows His gracious love to Israel. He reminds them that He is their God, and they are precious to Him. He promised that He will be with them while they are in afflictions. And He also encouraged them not to fear, because He has redeemed them. Therefore, let's hear God's word this afternoon. Under this theme, fear not, for God loves us graciously. First, we'll see His relationship with us. Second, His presence in trouble. And third, His redemption at high price. In Isaiah 42, verse 25, the immediate context of Isaiah 43, the prophet Isaiah declares God poured on Israel the heat of His anger and the might of battle. It set him on fire all around, but he did not understand. It burned him up, but he did not take it to heart. Why Israel was afflicted by God? The end of Isaiah 42 tells us that Israel was not only deaf to God's law, but also blind to his will. They will not walk in his ways, nor will they obey his laws. So the Lord disciplined them by afflictions like fire. Isaiah 43 starts with, but now. It serves as a transition from Israel's problem to God's remedy. It declares the grace of God. God's grace does not base on any qualities in Israel, nor does it depend on their obedience, even not depend on their repentance. Rather, God sees them as his covenant people. The phrase, thus says the Lord, emphasizes the firmness of God's encouraging words. In verse 1b, the Lord says, I have called you by name. You are mine. When the Lord says, I have called you by name, he's speaking of his intimate relationship with his people. This recalls that God has called out Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and called them and their descendants, Israel, as his own people. So he adds, you are mine. In verse 3, the Lord who named Israel revealed his own name to them, the God of Israel. The Lord your God, your Savior. This name reveals his special relationship with Israel. And it recalls that the Lord revealed himself to Moses as he desired to deliver his people from the bondage of Egypt. And before giving to the law at Mount Sinai, the Lord commanded Moses to tell the people to consecrate themselves, and that they were not allowed to touch the edge of the mountain. Because the Lord says, I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. And when the Israelites remembers how the Lord divided the Red Sea so that they could cross the sea on the dry land, and they should not doubt that the Lord is their Savior. Brothers and sisters, God is also our Savior. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place in order to save us from all our sins. And he sanctifies us by his Holy Spirit so that we may become his children. So let us live a holy life different from that of the people of the world. After confirming to the Israelites whose God he is, the Lord continues to comfort them. He says in verse 4a, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. When a man sees his bride, he may say, you are precious in my eyes. God, however, knowing all the sins and iniquities of his people, sees them as precious. And God says, I love you. God's people have received God's undeserved love. Romans 5:8 says, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Thanks to God, he loved us so much that he sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Not because we are good enough, but because of his grace, he loves us. Brothers and sisters, when we deal with a long-term illness, when we lose a job, when our relationship is broken, when our beloved ones stray from faith, we may struggle. We may doubt if God still loves us. Beloved, whenever you feel uncertain about God's love for you, remember the tenderest words of our God. You are precious in His eyes, honored, and He loves you. And He will be with you no matter how difficult circumstances. This brings us to the second point, His presence in trouble. In verse 1b, the Lord exhorts Israel, "Fear not." It will be a fearful thing for Israelites to be exiled. God will punish them for their rebellion, but He will also reassure them that He will be with them while they are in trouble. So God continues to say in verse 2, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." By referring to water and fire, the Lord speaks of all kinds of miseries from which the Israelites suffer. In all these situations, God comforts them by saying, "I will be with you." The Lord does not promise them here that their miserable situation will change immediately and they will never have trouble in the future. Rather, the Lord reassures them that He will be with them while they are in trouble. And the Lord also speaks of His protection by saying that the rivers shall not overwhelm you and that the flame shall not consume you. God's protection and providence for His people in trials are also mentioned in other places in the Bible. Psalm 66 verse 12 says this, "We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance." Brothers and sisters, when we suffer hardship, loss, and tragedy, it feels like we are going through deep waters and burning fire. But remember, God is always with us during these difficult situations. Let us trust His divine presence and providence. Just as He made the Israelites to walk on the dry ground through the Red Sea and pass over on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan River, He will bring us out to a place of abundance. 1 Peter 5, verse 10 says this, "After you have suffered for a little while, the God of peace, the God of grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." Indeed, our time in this world is brief. No matter how long and how intense our suffering may be, it will be short compared to the eternal joy. One day, when Christ returns at the end of the age, He will restore whatever we have lost for the sake of His name, and He will bring us to His eternal glory. In verse 5, the Lord repeats His encouraging words, saying, "Fear not, for I am with you." God knows how vulnerable the people of Israel are and how little their trust toward Him is. So God tells them again not to fear, because He will be with them. Brothers and sisters, what do you fear? And what is your comfort in trouble? Whatever our fear may be, we should go forward with confidence because of God's loving promises in Jesus Christ. Do you remember the ending words of Jesus' farewell discourse in John 16? He says to His disciples, "I have said this to you, that in Me you may have peace in this world. You will have trouble, But take heart, I have overcome the trouble. Overcome the world. Living in this immoral world, we would face inevitable trouble. But we are not alone. Our Lord Jesus does not abandon us to our struggles. Let us cling to Him who has won the ultimate victory so that we may have His peace in the most difficult times. In verse 5 and 6, the Lord continues, I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. God promises to gather His people from all around the world. This promise is also mentioned in the Bible. Isaiah 49, verse 12 says, Behold, these shall come from afar, and behold, these from the north, from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. The scattering of Israel could be understood as the dispersion of Israel in 721 BC and of Judah in 586 BC. It may also refer to the greater dispersion of Israel after 70 AD, when the Jews were indeed scattered everywhere in the world. They have begun to be restored until the 20th century. It seems that just as ashes being scattered here and there, it will be very difficult to gather the people of Israel who were driven to the end of the earth. But God, by His mighty work, mighty power, will bring them into one nation. Isaiah uses the lively languages to describe God's gathering of His people from east, from west, north, and south. In this way, God is described as the creator of the whole universe, who commands all creatures to set His people free. Moreover, God's gathering of His people is adapted in Matthew 8:11. The Lord Jesus says, Many will come from east and from west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Indeed, God is gathering His people who believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, from all nations throughout history. And He will continue to do so until Christ's return. As children of God, we are also sojourners and foreigners living in this hostile world. We need to trust the faithfulness of God, who will one day bring us to His eternal heavenly home. Verse 6 ends with, Brings my sons from afar, and my daughters from the end of the earth. The words sons and daughters suggest that not all Israelites who were in exile will return. Instead, only those who are true children of God shall be gathered. Romans 9, verse 6 and 7 says, Not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham because they are his offspring. And Isaiah 10:22 tells that these true Israel, true children of Abraham, are the few remnants of the exile. For it says, Though your people Israel be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant of them will return. Even though the remnants are not many, the Lord will redeem them to be His own. This brings us to the third point, His redemption at high price. Verse 1a says, He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. God reminds Israel that just as he created heaven and earth, he has brought them into existence as his own people. And he shows his love by calling them by name, saying, O Jacob, O Israel. Undoubtedly, the Israelites are part of God's creation. But the creation here refers to the regeneration of God's people. As Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 10, that we are his new creation work in Jesus Christ. The word redemption means buying back or paying the price to buy a person's freedom. In Exodus, the Lord liberated Israel from the bondage of Egypt by the blood of a Passover lamb, which points forward to the great redemption of Jesus Christ. For in him we have redemption through his blood, Ephesians 1:7. To understand the word redemption better, I refer to a story that I have read in a city on the shore of a great lake lived a little boy. He loves the water and sailing. With the help of his father, he made a beautiful model boat. Every day he sailed it at the end of the water. One day, a strong rush of wind caught his boat and carried it far into the lake and out of sight. He was very upset. Day after day, he went to the shores to look for his treasure. Then one day, when he was walking in town, he saw his boat in a store window. He quickly entered the store and tried to get his boat back. But owner said to him that he had paid a fisherman good money for this boat. So the boy went back home and worked very hard every day until he finally returned to the store with the money. Holding his precious boat in his arms, he said joyfully, "You are twice mine, because I made you and because I bought you back." Just so, the Lord created us and formed us. And as all humanity was in the slave market of sin, unable to deliver themselves, Christ has purchased his people with an infinite price. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." In verse 3b, the Lord says, "I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you." And in verse 4b, he says, "I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life." Ransom is the price paid by a redeemer to buy a person's freedom. The Lord gives Egypt as the price for the redemption of his people. And he gives Cush and Seba instead of Israel. Indeed, God orders events in the whole world for the benefit of his people. In Moses' day, God saved Israel at the expense of Egypt. And in order to release his people from exile, God handed Babylon over to the Cyrus. And he generally condemned all surrounding countries in order to redeem Israel. Proverbs 21, verse 18 says, "The wicked is a ransom for the righteous." This principle was ultimately worked out in the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin being made to be sin for God's chosen people. He was condemned as a criminal by Pontius Pilate, though he had at first declared him innocent. He died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. And he gave his life as a ransom for many. In verse 7, the Lord concludes, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." The phrase, "everyone who is called by my name," tells that Israel belongs to God's family. In Isaiah 40, the prophet Isaiah exhorts Israel to lift up their eyes on high, to look at and meditate on the power of the Lord who has created the universe. Now he reminds them that the Lord has also created them for his glory. Brothers and sisters, we are not only born to be men, but we are also saved by Christ and renewed after his own image through the work of the Holy Spirit. So let us live for the glory of God, the Holy One of Israel, whose glory fills the earth. Let us be assured that we belong to his family. We belong, body and soul, both in life and in death, to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And let us praise our Lord Jesus Christ, who has redeemed his people from every place of the world. In eternity, men and angels will join together to sing a new song before his heavenly throne. As the Apostle John records in Revelation 5, "You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seal, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priest to serve our God, and they will reign on earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousand upon thousands, and 10 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Brothers and sisters, one day we will sing this song with the angels. But the best part is ours, because we are twice his people. He has created us and he has redeemed us by his precious blood. Our God, who is sovereign over all, needs nothing. But he chose to create the universe and us. He not only created us, but he also loved us. Even when we rebelled against him and deserved eternal death, he loved us and sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Even though you may experience various trials like going through fire and water, remember the encouraging words of the Lord: "Fear not, for he has redeemed you. Fear not, for he is with you. And fear not, for he loves you. So let us take heart. Turn from fear to trust in the Lord. And let us rejoice. Rejoice confidently in the hope of the glory of God, even in our tribulations. Amen.